Okay, while you're standing, thank you. Take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 23 to 27. I'll read verse 23 and you read verse 24 with me. But Mark chapter 12 and verse number 23. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, it church, it, and I know this was your idea. We gather together, please, tonight. I pray that you control my mind badly. And I just thank your precious word. Bless it to our hearts, please. And may we love you. So what we eat there. And you have this passage here. And in verse, sometimes when you read your Bible, it would help if you paid attention to the paragraph. Because what's a paragraph? It's an idea, right? And a sentence is, when it's properly structured, a group of sentences that make up a paragraph. When the paragraphs are available, it helps you keep the context. So this paragraph, this story goes all the way back up to verse 18. And it says, Jesus says here, then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. And they, the Sadducees, asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife and dying left no seed or children. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise, and the seven had her. This is a messed up story, okay? I mean, marries one brother, no kids, then marries the next. Seven times, Leroy, something's messed up, okay? Y'all understand? So they're throwing this hypothetical question to him, and it's really going to show their evil heart here in just a second. But really, seven had her? Okay. And left, verse 22, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. Verse 23, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Now, Jesus answers this question saying, first of all, you err not knowing the Scriptures. He tells the story and he wraps it up in verse 27. He says, therefore, you do greatly err. And I don't know who he has corrected with this much intensity, all right, before. When he tells them twice, you do err, you don't know the Bible. And then you do greatly err. So I think that's his way of saying, what a stupid question. But notice what their question is. If this woman married seven brothers and they all died, you would have thought by brother number four, somebody said, I ain't marrying her. Everybody that marries her dies. Somebody should have caught on, you know what I mean? So, but anyway, she marries all seven brothers and all seven of them die. And the question is, okay, she married each one of them individually. When we get to heaven, whose wife is she going to be when we get up there? And you can tell the question angered Jesus. Now, they don't believe in a resurrection, which means they didn't believe the Bible to start off with. This is the Sadducees. That's why they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay. You've heard that before, right? Okay. So, boy, we learn more around here on accident than most people do on purpose. Amen. So Jesus says, your concept of heaven twisted. So one of the joys that God allowed in creation for us on the earth is the joy of the relationship of marriage. And their question is, well, when they get to heaven, whose wife is she going to be? And he said, you have a very twisted view of what heaven must be. You're so off. You really think the pleasures of this world are to be compared with the pleasures of heaven, and they're not. The pleasures of heaven and the joy that we will know and the peace far exceeds anything we've ever known here on this earth. What's it say in Romans 8? The sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. So you see Jesus' anger, and you know, I've heard people say, you know, well, I hope the Lord doesn't come before I get married. And somebody said, oh, I have a little compassion on the teenagers. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to say, then you couldn't know a whole lot about heaven. If you're that, thinking about the rapture and the coming of Jesus is so depressing to you because you're not going to get married, then you don't understand what's coming. You understand? And now, I understand, this is all we know. Our minds can't conceive what's coming, but you're not giving God the benefit of the doubt. Do you really think if the rapture happens before you get married, you're going to get ripped off? You won't. All of our minds are going to be blown for good and for God. So you see the foolishness of the question. That's why. Okay, and I don't want to get too graphic, but sex-based religions are proof that they're false. What do the Muslims teach? If you blow yourself up, then you'll get, I don't know, 40 virgins, 72 virgins, or what. Their concept of heaven is taking what is enjoyable in this earth and God says it so far surpasses that. That's how you can tell it's a cult, right? What's Mormons? Mormons is an immoral bait. How do you know it's a cult? They teach the more babies you have, the faster you reach godhood, and it's twisted. It's sick. And I hear those things, and I think you do greatly err, not knowing that you don't know the scriptures. You do therefore greatly error. Now take your Bible and go to John chapter 1. We'll come back to this here in just a little bit. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So whenever the word is capitalized, it's the living Word of God. It's the Lord Jesus. You say, are you sure? Read verse 2 and 3. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh. So anytime in our Bible when we see the word capitalized, we're reading about Jesus. And it's a wonderful concept to think, okay, now go to John 6. John chapter 6, look at verse 63. John chapter 6, and look at verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So whenever the words that are small case in your Bible, it's always talking about the Bible, the words of God. But whenever it's capitalized, it's always talking about the Lord Jesus. Why? First of all, Jesus is this book with flesh on Him. The Word became flesh. Jesus lived it all, right? He was the holiness of God. He was the purity of God. Second of all, how come the Word, capital W, is the Lord Jesus? Before you speak, you think. So what is Jesus? He is the expression of the Father, the perfect expression of the Father. He is the living Word. He is the Word of God. So that's good to know. Jesus is the living Bible, the living Word. Now go to 1 John chapter 1, back near Revelation, 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. Capital W, right? So God is penning through John His Word, and He's saying, when the Word of God was here, we saw Him and we handled Him. I just love thinking about that. The Word, while He was with us, we heard His voice. we saw him, and I know they bumped into him every once in a while or whatever, but just to think, I touched the Word of God. And he said here, the Word of life. Now in 1 John, go to chapter 5 and 7. 1 John chapter 5. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They call this one of the most powerful verses on the deity of Jesus in the whole Bible. There are more, but this is one of the clearest, most powerful verses you can use. The Word is one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Doesn't get any simpler than that. Thus far, in John chapter 1, verse 1, we read three times the Word. Then in verse 14, we read Jesus is the Word, capital W. Then in 1 John 1:1, he's the Word of life, right? And in 1 John 5:7, number 6, he is the Word again. This is the sixth time. Now go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And look at, just look at verse 11, and verse 13 is what I want to draw your attention to. But it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and watch, and his name is called the Word of God. That's number 7. 7 times in your Bible, Jesus is referred to as the capital Word, capital W, Word of God. There's two numbers that we use to refer to God. The first one is 3, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. God's number of completion is what? 7. So there's 7 times God refers to it. God completed creation and 7 days, rested on the 7th day, complete. We say this is God's perfect picture of who Jesus is. Jesus, I'll say it again, is this book with flesh. One of the names of God, his name is Jehovah Creator God, but when I pray, he likes to be called Heavenly Father. We learn that in Matthew 6. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Heavenly Father. That's because God isn't everybody's father. If you're lost, you're a child of the devil, right? So God likes to be called your father. But when I pray, according to what we just read, when I pray, it's not wrong for me to say, O thou Word of God, his name, right? Well, here's what somebody said a long time ago. That's making too much of the Bible. No, I'll correct you with that. And I know nobody in here would say that. You haven't made enough of the Bible. The Bible's not big enough to you. And that's why you play with your Bible reading. Your time with the Lord. How do I spend time with Jesus? When you open his words, they are spirit and they are life. This, when you read the Bible, I know it's God speaking to you, but this book, if it's a King James Bible, this is close as you can get. You ever seen somebody kiss their Bible? A sacrilege. Maybe it's really precious. Maybe they know something we don't. Remember those Christians? We showed the video and we've got it here. I almost showed it tonight, but we'll see it sometime. Remember that of the Chinese Christians over in China? And it was those young people and they got the Bible for the first time. You saw them unwrapping the plastic and the tears. You saw that one girl kiss her Bible? It was so convicting. I was just like, man, I've wept over my Bible, but man, to say, my Bible time is me and Jesus. Let's take this a little further. Go to John. We sing the song, more about Jesus would I learn, more of his holy will discern, more about Jesus. How do you learn more about Jesus? His word. Here we go. Look at John 14. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And just in case you think, when he says commandments, he's talking about the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. When Jesus says my commandments, he's talking about the whole Bible. How do you know that? Look down at verse number 20. Well, just read verse 22. Verse 23 will show it to us. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? And not unto the world. Here we go. Jesus is going to rephrase what he just said. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. One of the most helpful truths that I have learned in the Christian life is this. The world will never view the Bible the way it should. We will always, if you carry your Bible, you use your Bible too much. You know, you're a fanatic. I think the Bible ought to go everywhere with. They always taught us, if you're a businessman, you put your Bible on your desk. The Bible should be everywhere you are. You say, why? Because how you view the... Jesus said, your love for him does not pass your love for that book. And you only love Jesus as much as you love your Bible. And if your Bible's boring, it's not because God's boring. It's because you quit loving. That helps me.
Well, I've already read it all.
I know, but it's... There's nobody reads it too much. No, nobody has memorized it or meditated on it too much. When for you to spend time, you love Jesus as much as you love your Bible. And if you don't, you're going through the motion. You being excited about tomorrow morning when you read your Bible, God's going to speak to my heart and give me something. If you don't have a system of reading your Bible, I can help you. I got 3 or 4. We're getting ready to start the new year over again, and I'll put the Bible reading charts back there. We'll have the calendar. I'm for whatever it is it takes. Take 72 hours to read the Bible through. 4 chapters a day will get you through in a year. 8 will get you through in 6 months. You know how long it takes to read 4 chapters? I think somewhere between 12 and 20 minutes, depending on the chapter. 20 minutes a day will get you through your Bible in a year. Think about 72 hours just for a second. Reading the Bible takes 72 hours from start to finish. That means if I read for an hour every day for 10 weeks, isn't that 2.5 months, right? 4 months, 4 months and two, right? So if I read an hour every day in 10 weeks, I could get through my Bible, right? Most think, oh, it's so big. It's so... This book is... That's why... Go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Okay? Somebody said, if you preach too much on reading your Bible, then people will read their Bible and they won't go soul winning and serve the Lord. You can't spend time with Jesus and it not affect you, right? Nobody reads their Bible too much. Well, they'll read too much and then they won't serve. That's garbage. I heard that one time, a long time ago. I said, that's kind of stupid. So if I could help you spend time with the Lord, you become more like the one you're spending time with. That's why I'll say this. The most important thing you do is read your Bible. It feeds you. It puts life in you. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It gives you spiritual energy when you read your Bible because God is speaking and speaking to you and feeding you. Look at Psalm 138. Ready? Verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What a verse. Think about this just for a second. It's in the name of Jesus that we're saved. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, right? You call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, please save me. And God says he elevates his word above the name of Jesus. You know how come he can do that? Because he is the Word. You say, well, that's not blasphemy. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're baptized in his name. It's in the name of Jesus that demons are cast out. It's in the name of Jesus that we're healed. And yet, God elevates, he's magnified his Word above his name. What a book. How come? That's because it's alive. It's alive. Go to Hebrews chapter, and look at verse 16, famous verse. I hope it's marked in your Bible. If not, please mark it. Go back and think about it. Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick. Okay, what's quick in your King James Bible mean? Alive. Does not mean fast or pronto. Although it is fast and pronto, but the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's living. Watch. And sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the sharpest thing on the earth. It's sharper than any sword, any knife we have. Amen? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why is this important? Because this book is alive. Think about it. It's the only thing that'll be in heaven when we get there that was down here on this earth. Everything else, it's the only thing that will be up there. It's alive. It's eternal. what saves us? The words of this book, 1 Peter chapter 1, right? This is the word whereby the gospel is preached unto you. We're born again of these words. How come you're saved forever? Because what saved you is eternal. And your salvation is as eternal as the book that saved you. You say the book? Jesus, right? One and the same. I love thinking my time with the Lord when I open this book, this is Jesus talking. It's so important. You say this is another sermon on reading your Bible. Sort of. It's another twist at it. But I know most people, not all, praise the Lord. We have some people in our church, their Bible time is set. And they tell me, and they enjoy it, and they look forward to it. Others, it's their biggest frustration because they want to. I believe that. But they just never get around to it. So I was thinking for Christmas, I'd like to give you a round two. It'll say to it on it, and it's round. No, never mind. That was two. I know they mean well, but they don't. But they wish they would. And sometimes a little push like this helps you. The most important part of your day is the time you spend with them. And if you don't have a time, it won't happen. There, I promise you, the devil has things to distract you, and that's why it is the discipline of the Christian. Discipline. Disciples. They're the disciplined one. They say, this is what I'm doing. Your Bible reading is so important. You only love Jesus as much as you love your Bible. And if you're not excited about your Bible, you've lost your... And, praise God, you're in church, but you're going through the motion. You need to review your... Look at the Word of God. Now go back to Mark chapter 12. Mark, we started here, and verse 24, Mark 12, 24, watch this. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scripture, neither the power of God? Your question is so stupid, you don't know the Bible. Let me rephrase that. I think I can, with scriptural authority, say Jesus said, "You, I am." And then in verse 27, he says, ye therefore do greatly err. And he plainly said, remember when Moses heard, I'm the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. We have a living God. He's giving us his living word. And this book is the same. Your greatest mistake, your mistakes will come in life because of your not understanding the Scriptures. And watch this. You're saved. He lives inside you, and he wants to teach you his word. It is doable. A Christian, it's going to take some application on your part. It's going to take some want to. And I hope tonight's message, if I showed you, I'm not a fanatic. I need to love the Lord. I have not arrived. I'm not a fanatic. But if I could show you that book you have in you, precious, it should be your every. This is close. And I get to, I should love my. It's not an idol. It's who it represents, right? It's a Christian view. We'll always be cuckoo, bunch of nuts. You know, they knew the Waldensians when they'd walk in to break up their services, Italian Alps. When they walked in, they were known as the people with the Bible, because all of them. Shouldn't we be known that way? You want to know something sweet? When we visited the Waldensian Museum in Valdez, North Carolina, it's such a neat place. I'd like to take everybody sometime. But because when the Catholics would come through and they'd raid, sometimes they would kill, depend on what mood they were in. Sometimes they would just take and gather the Scriptures, and they would gather, because having a Bible was illegal. So they would take it and they'd burn it in their presence, and then they'd write it off. Sometimes they'd kill everybody and burn the Bibles. So what did they do in all of the churches of the Alps? They would assign families books of the New Testament. The Doggett family has the book of Miss Dawn and Miss Lisa have the book of Colossians, and Emiliano and Marianne, they have the book, and they books were assigned. And every time the Catholics came through and burned their Bible, do you know how they got it back? They had someone writing up front and said, well, our Bibles were burned. Let's go ahead and start at the book of Matthew. Brother Garland had that book. Brother Garland, stand and quote the book of Matthew in a pennant. Now the Watson's going to give us the book of Mark. And they would go through and they would rewrite from what the families had memorized. They memorized whole books. You know how they sent their preachers to school? Sent them to school for 3 years, and all they did, because they were always preparing for their Bible. If you ask this question, it's just a neat, wonderful thing to think about. But if your Bible was taken, how much of, when they took Richard Warmbrandt, the Baptist preacher over in Romania, and they threw him in a hole, they would lower them in a cage that you had to kneel in, and 300 feet in the ground is where he's straight down. He said, there I was in the dark, in this cage, all the way up, was out, couldn't get out. He said, they took my clothes, my Bible. He said, but Ted, how did you make it? The tortures, the darkness. He said, the Bible, wow, that's our heritage. I love the question. If they took your Bible, how much? All of us need to have verses that we're working. It's a daily thing. It's not, well, I memorized one. Yay, 3 years ago. Good. What did you memorize last week? All of us need to be hiding it in our heart, reading it. Why? Because this is Jesus. And if I took Mark 12, our greatest mistakes come from not knowing. Tonight, the name of the message, ye there, ye great error. And it comes from not knowing. Encouragements, pray. Father, please, you said the word is nigh us, and you've made it possible. You didn't make living the Christian life so hard that we couldn't. It's not un.